You're tuned in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. It's about 19, almost 20 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are here from the Juno Nonviolent Communication Practice Group. We have Kathleen McFerrin, who's a certified NVC trainer with the Center for Nonviolent Communication, Jared Finkelstein, who is also a certified NVC trainer, and Darcy Lockhart, local NVC practice group leader. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and welcome to the show. First off, let's hear a little bit about the Nonviolent Communication Practice Group. What do you do?
Well, it started for me in 2012, and I had taken a workshop with Kathleen, and I was very, very taken with it. And I thought, well, this is about repatterning my language, and so we need some practice. And so I started gathering people who had taken the workshop and said, let's just meet, you know, every other week. So I've been doing that since 2012. So I coordinate two practice groups, and after this workshop, we'll form new practice groups, and I'll continue on with the one that I have currently.
Great. You're all here to talk about an intro to nonviolent communication presentation that's happening this Thursday at the downtown library in the evening, as well as a weekend workshop, and we'll go over all the details and logistics about that later on in the interview. But first, for both of you who are trainers in nonviolent communication, what made you get into this? What about this is important to you?
Well, one of the reasons I got into it, like many other people, is because of pain. Relationship where there's a lot of disconnection, and I was heartbroken about it. And so trying to figure out why, how did that happen, how did it occur, and what could I do to restore the relationship once again? And so it was very insightful for me. There's a lot of little pieces I learned, a lot of aha moments when I was listening to the founder, Marshall Rosenberg, talk about the process. And then I've stayed in it because of joy. So coming to it because of pain, staying into it because of joy, it's really made my life and relationships a lot richer.
How about you, Jared?
I think I resonate with a lot of that. That's also been my experience. And I think there's just only so many times in my life that I could assign blame to somebody else for a disconnection that was happening. And there's something very powerful in this practice about taking responsibility for what happened and finding new sources of power for how to reshape the relationship and find a new source of connection without it being outer directed.
And when we use the term nonviolent communication, does that just mean communicating without using our fists? But what about raised voices, yelling, shouting, things like that, using, you know, abusive language?
I love the question because that word nonviolence has so many different meanings for different people. And so one of the ways I like to think about it is really more how Gandhi liked to think about it, or Martin Luther King Jr., that we're really looking for the places that disconnect us from our humanity. And so nonviolent communication for me is an emphasis on where is our interconnection? How do we make that more visible? And where are the places where we see each other as enemies or forget that we have a common core humanity? And then how to go about repairing that and making that connection stronger.
And I'd love just to add, I mean, I think the purpose of nonviolent communication as a practice is to generate this quality of connection, either inside ourselves or between others, where this very natural human desire to contribute to one another is elevated to the priority. And so, you know, the nonviolence part of it is just like Kathleen was saying, like, in what ways are my thoughts about who you are, my labels about you, my diagnosis of you, interfering with the kind of connection that I'd like to create between us?
Darcy, or maybe all of you, could you give an example of a nonviolent communication technique?
Go ahead. In my own life, what's really helped me most is, as Jared was mentioning, taking personal responsibility. And so when I'm in communication with somebody else, I'm really aware of what's going on inside of me first, so that I can be concerned about what's going inside the other person. And so it enables me to be more honest with myself. Knowing that, then I can be more honest with the other person, so that the communication is much more authentic and in a lot of ways very gentle. They can give you an example of that.
I love that, Darcy. It's still one of the areas I'm working on is how to take greater responsibility for what's going on inside me. One of the pieces I've loved most is just learning how to listen. I always thought I was a great listener, and it's something that I've cultivated over time to really listen to what's happening underneath the words and what is that deeper message that people are often wanting to communicate. And it's often surprising and very vulnerable at times. I work in Washington State prisons, bringing these workshops in there, and often I've role-played situations where I was the inmate and they're staring at me with wide eyes saying, how did you know? How did you know that's what was going on inside me? And it's simply because I've been able to listen at a level where we have common humanity. And so it's easier at that point to really understand what's going on and then deeply connect with wide open hearts.
Anything to add, Jared?
I would just build on what was already said about the technique in the practice of nonviolent communication. We make this assumption that everybody values love, that everybody values safety, that everybody wants to be heard. And we call these universal human needs. And the separation of those needs from people's behaviors and actions as attempts to satisfy those needs leads us into an inroad for how we might connect with them. So especially in the face of behavior that I find very troublesome and very difficult, if I can do this kind of listening that Kathleen was talking about, imagining this person is doing the best that they know how to satisfy a sense of respect for themselves, that's my potential connection with them because we both value respect, even if we don't appreciate whatever behaviors we just both experienced.
What are some uses for this that you might present in your workshops? Are you hoping to train people to de-escalate potentially violent situations?
Yes, and more. I think just to keep talking about what we were just saying, this ability to listen to ourselves and to listen to others through this particular lens and this particular mindset is extraordinarily de-escalating. When someone is really angry and loud, often it's a desire to be heard that's going on for them. And the ability to listen in this way can bring them back to a sense of being reconnected to what's most important to them and maybe even awaken in them a curiosity about what other people's experiences might be, which could then cultivate this kind of connection. So certainly de-escalating is a useful application. But I think also just finding joy. Hearing our children differently, hearing ourselves differently, finding, you know, what is a deeper level of authenticity with our own experience can be deeply transforming for people.
And there's one other thing that's really near and dear to my heart is that how do we really hear each other when it seems like there's such divides between us? And so one of the things we're really hoping to work with this weekend is How do I hear you? How do you hear me when our strategies are so different? Our political ideologies are different. Our relationships are different. Our socioeconomic situation is different. How do we connect and collaborate in the midst of that?
And that's the title of one of your weekend workshop, Connecting Across Differences. I think it couldn't be more appropriate in this day and age. And I was going to mention that it definitely sounds like it would be a good thing for people with anger issues or anger management problems, people who may have been convicted of violent crime. So I'm happy to hear that you take this into correctional institutions. What about higher level concepts of violence, just war, conflict between nations, use of military force? How do these concepts apply to that?
We've had a lot of what I hear is stories that my colleagues sent to me from around the world. And when they are working in war zones and they are working on the lines where they'll be working with an army general, and the general will be picking up the list of needs cards and saying, this is exactly what we're looking for. We're trying to get safety in our country. And then the opposing rebel forces are looking at the cards and going, this is exactly what we're looking for. We want safety. And then when they're in the same room together, they're like, why are we fighting? Because we have the same needs. So it is being taken into war zones. It's been taken into situations where there's violence just within neighborhoods. And my dream is that that we can do that much, much, much more. But I really believe that conversation is the prerequisite to any decision, and that includes decision to go to war, decision on how we want to handle conflict. And so if we can have alternatives to conflicts where people's needs actually get met more fully, I'm in. I'm game. And this is one of the methods that I'm working with.
That is, it's a wonderful dream. Back to the here and now, the workshops again, Thursday the 24th, 6:30, Downtown Library. That's the free introduction to nonviolent communication. And then Connecting Across Differences will be taking place at Bartlett Regional Hospital. It's Saturday and Sunday. Do you want to speak more about the details of that workshop?
The Saturday starts at 9 o'clock, and it's in the classroom in the administration building at Bartlett. And we want to thank Bartlett for providing us with the space. And it goes till 4:30. And the fee is $100, but includes a 5% CBJ tax, so it's $105. And then if people come to Sunday as well, there's the fee for both sessions is $157.50, which obviously includes CBJ tax.
And where can we sign up?
Actually, people can email me, and I will send them a registration form. They can send it back to me. My email is it's darcyvlockhart@gmail. So it's D-A-R-C-Y, V like in Victor, L-O-C-K-H-A-R-T @gmail.com.
Thank you. And thanks to all three of you for doing what you do and coordinating this workshop. Is there anything else you'd like to add for folks who might be considering attending?
I would. I'd love to add that these are actually very fun and experiential workshops. The topic can sometimes sound heavy or go into a very emotional place, and sometimes people are uncomfortable with their emotions. But I really want to emphasize that there's a quality of choice and freedom to these workshops as well, and a lot of humor and a lot of just lightness that surprises people frequently, and I'd love to let people know that.
I think the other piece I'd like to mention is just gratitude for Darcy for how long she's been bringing this to Juneau and keeping up the spirit, and have really built quite a community of people who are connected here in ways that they weren't before.
Yeah, we've built a nonviolent communication community, and my co-facilitator this year has been Meg Cartwright, so people know her, and I would recommend people come because I call Kathleen and Jared the dynamic duo, because it is so fun. And they make it just, you know, you just feel like you're enfolded into a community that's bigger than you.
It sounds like an invaluable life skill. So thanks again, everyone, for being here. And if you need the details for registration or where to get more information, I have those here at the station. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Shelley.